role of the arts is to question, interrogate, to listen, to respond. Those responses may be difficult, challenging, provocative, and that's the point.
Somewhere on the spectrum of amazed and terrified.
We rely on artists to inspire us, move us, and compel us to dazzle and rearrange our ways of thinking about absolutely everything.
But I just had this vision of bringing people from across our community together.
Expressions of who we are as a culture and a people.
A historical archive of our times.
Artists create the future. Future. Future.
Kayo Wanju, hello and welcome to the Best of Artbeat for today, the 4th of November 2022. I'm Beck Bowman and these are the three best interviews. They're all amazing, but these are three of the best interviews that we had today on Artbeat. First up, we hear from Seesang or Summer Robin. They are performance artists and musicians who have been working with WAMFest and the State Library of WA to create works for the Corridors of Blister Day commissioning project. We also heard from 92-year-old author Alice Dale. Alice is living proof that artists just keep making new work no matter how old they are. Alice speaks about her latest novel, A Fond Kiss. And we also hear from Thea Rossen, who has been creating a work, The Milk Carton Confessions, presented by Tura New Music, City of Swan and Allan Brook Art. The Milk Carton Confessions is a free live performance featuring music, movement and film. Thea shares her art music practice with us. It is the 4th of November, which means that this weekend is WAMFest. It's a time to celebrate all the amazing West Australian musicians and performers and kind of get into what makes WA music so special. Part of what makes WA music so special is Seesang. See is a electronic artist who has recently been a part of a project commissioned by the State Library of WA called Corridors of Blister Day. It is a transformation of maps from the State Library collection into music. We're going to find out how that even happens right now. See, welcome to Artbeat.
Hello, good morning.
So glad to have you on today because I have been having a recent kind of, I'm not going to say obsession, but, you know, extended interest into yes. How people make maps, how people kind of render the landscape into 2D, and you're rendering the landscape into this kind of sonic world. How does that even happen?
Well, for this project, for instance, I went through the collections because the State Library have they digitised a lot of their map collection, which is amazing. Yeah. So there's a collection from the 1800s, you know, and that was quite useful. So I used a program called Yanix, which is an open source graphical sequencer. Very fancy way of saying you trace shapes onto this program, and then and it has these cursors, and you can put trigger points on these lines, and if the cursor runs, hits the triggers, and then you can run it through like a program like Ableton. I use Ableton, and and it controls what instrument it plays. So yeah,
so it's like a synthesizer.
Yes.
Within a computer program.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry, my words slowed down a lot because my brain was very slowly catching up.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah, it's just basically it allows you to turn all these like shapes and, well, in my case, maps into an instrument. Press play and it just plays.
Yeah, of course. So when you looked back on these maps from the 1800s, what were some of the changes you noticed between the maps that were made then and the maps that are made now? Did you explore some of the maps that are made now?
Not so much, but I did use some of the, like, Google Maps, because a part of my project also involved using other sort of cartographic information, like latitude and longitude values of various landmarks.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Google Maps and had a look. And it's quite interesting. Yeah, there are some shifts in the landscape, you know, some things that were there. But I did one where it was, like, based on the Swan River.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also the area, which is now sort of all covered up by streets and all, but it used to be like wetlands. And, yeah, it was quite interesting just seeing where these spots were or used to be, and also how, you know, we've changed, like, the course of, you know, some rivers. And I think the most interesting thing for me was, like, I did one where it was, like, all the land was partitioned off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like people had just, you know, marked these, you know, very sort of square, almost brutalist lines on this map saying that this is mine, this is someone else's, this is someone else's. It was like, whoa. Wow. Partitioning the land, that was a... Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thing. Compared to, like, the sort of the how the land moves, you know, it's very sort of no straight lines like that, you know. Yeah.
And do they then sound different to maps? Because those are kind of very political maps, right, that kind of map out people's ownership or you know, purported ownership. Do they differ from maps that are more, the sound of maps that are more looking at the landscape?
I found for myself, yeah, there's like part of my practice also is about, you know, how I relate to looking at something like that, you know, like my emotional responses to looking at a map like that.
Mm.
And, yeah, for me, I found, yeah, with the piece where it was lot of partitions, it was harsher.
Yeah.
and I think it was also my visceral response to it compared to, say, I did another work where it was based on the Blackwood River flowing and all the tributaries are coming in. And that was, I felt more fluid because it almost looked like a nervous system stretching out, you know? Yeah. So that was more gentle. Yeah.
We are talking to Sisang about the works they're doing in terms of transforming the mapping of landscapes, the mapping of Boorloo and of the Blackwood River as well, into works for the State Library of WA's Corridors of Blister Day.
Ooh.
See, how did you get into this whole idea, this of bringing the landscape to life in this way in the first place?
Oh, yeah. The long origin story. Okay. No, well, it's more like I was getting quite into field recording, and initially I was more focused on the idea of, you know, how do I, because I was a photographer at one point,
mm-hmm.
and how I would translate, you know, my photographs into music, into sound. So I was looking into a lot of that. And then the more I sort of did that, the more I thought, what the core of that is, I'm really interested in sort of incorporating all aspects of place into my work. So, you know, I want the field recordings, I want the visuals in some way, I want the place to also be an active contributor to the entire work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of, like, influencing the sound. So I was like, okay, how do I do this? And eventually I came across Eonix, where, you know, you can trace all these, you can trace, like, photographs, maps, images of the landscape. And it was like, okay, got it. You know, this is a way you can incorporate the contours of the geography into place.
And
yeah.
And I guess that draws on a history of non-Western composition and notation as well in terms of it is very, like it's a very visual representation of the music rather than this kind of Western staff and, you know.
Yeah, there's no real pitch or notes or, you know, there's tones. I think initially I did try to sort of keep it towards a more, you know, your traditional Western notation, the 4/4 and notes. And I thought I feel quite limited in that. So it's more like the textures and even the field recordings. You know, sometimes I will just stand there and I'll record like the wind hitting the microphone, and you know, just keeping all those artifacts because they're like a representation of how the place was at the time when I was recording it, you know, artifacts and all. Yeah, so it's about sort of the feeling and the emotion behind that sound and place. Yeah, that which I've been quite interested in exploring. And I think another thing I like about using maps, for instance, is that you can sort of use it as a way of describing place, and also when you combine it with field recordings, you can sort of go back and forth in time in a way.
So interesting. Record,
yeah. So in a way, like, say, for instance, these maps here, like, you know, from the 1800s, there are times where I will use sound from, like, you know, a couple of months ago, you know, in 2022, and it's almost this weird collision of time. You're discussing that, you're discussing the time from the 1800s and modern all together, because that's how a place is like, you know, it holds all these different timelines.
Yeah, and folding in on each other, and what is kind of hidden in those folds. See, this sounds so interesting. I feel like perhaps we need to sit down and talk about this kind of metaphysical journey that you are on. Corridors of Bliss Today is an initiative from the State Library of WA. There will be a live performance of works tomorrow, 4 to 5 p.m., at the State Library, Discovery Lounge, ground floor. Get down, check it out, and find out more about what C's been doing. You can also see C's staying at Frio Art Centre in a couple of weeks. Is that right?
Yes, the old customs house at the Art Source building. Yeah.
On the 18th of November, part of an initiative celebrating women and non-binary people in electronic music in WA.
Oh, yeah, they'll be fun. And you'll be able to play some of the equipment at the end of the show too. Have a jam with us.
Amazing. We're going to hear a little bit from the Swan Double Urigan right now. See, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, see you, everyone.
The role of the arts is to question, interrogate, to listen, to respond. Those responses may be difficult, challenging, provocative, and that's the point.
Somewhere on the spectrum of amazed and terrified.
You are listening to Artbeat on RTR FM 92.1. I'm Beck Bowman, and right now we are joined by Alice Dale. Alice is an author of three novels. Her latest is A Fond Kiss, and she has joined us today to talk all about those novels that she's been writing. Her first novel was released at the age of 90. Alice, welcome.
Thank you.
So this is your third novel, which is an achievement in and of itself, but this is your third novel written since you turned 90 years old.
That's right. And I'm 92 now.
So this novel writing career of yours, is this something that you've been holding on to for 90 years? Have you been wanting to write these books for 90 years?
Well, actually, I was writing always, but I started out with comedy sketches because I worked in comedy so much. I did a lot of sketches. And then when I retired, I started writing plays, and I got three of those published and performed here in Perth. And when they finished, COVID hit, and I was looking to clean out, do something, because I live alone and I was in lockdown, and I found an old copy of a book I'd started and never finished. And I found a character in it of a young pilot who had been shot down, but he wasn't the main character. So I lifted him out and started my debut novel, A Fonkis, and wrote his story. So that's how it all started.
And then you kind of unfolded that story and created a whole novel about it, published it, yeah. And now we have the story of Craig Stebbings. So I'm going to tell people a little bit about what the story is about. So Craig Stebbings is a young fighter pilot who has lost his strikingly handsome looks when bailing out of his burning plane. He suffers a loss of speech due to PTSD, which was unknown in 1940, and he's now angry and unsociable. Alice, you're going to read us a little excerpt from this book.
Yes. This is much later on in the book, when he has come home and gone through all sorts of problems, both he and his mother, because his mood swings are dreadful. She doesn't know how to handle him, and she is going through her own problems. So she decides to have a belated 21st birthday party for him, his 21st actually happened when he was in hospital a year before. Unfortunately, they are obliged to invite Uncle Arthur, who's a complete bore, and Auntie Margaret, who's a social climber and a pain in the bum. And I've selected the tiny bit when she makes her entrance, much to his horror. He's been speaking to Uncle Arthur and having a very difficult time making conversation with him. So I'll read that whenever you want me to.
Oh, please read it to us now. I'm ready.
Okay, here it goes. Craig could hear Margaret loudly holding court in the hall. For Pete's sake, hurry up, Mum. I need family support here. Never was a silent prayer so fervent or so quickly answered, except that it was his aunt who made her big entrance, intoning liltingly, "Home is the sailor, home from the sea." Pippa intervened with a twisted grin, except that home from the airman, home from the air, doesn't sound the same, does it? Ah, but it means the same. She gave one of her little rippling laughs, turned round, then stopped dead, as though another step would have crashed her into a brick wall. Oh, my God, just look what they've done to you, son. Craig had often wondered why this childless couple insisted on calling him son. She hadn't finished. That's a crying shame. You were so handsome, too. He noted the past tense. Och, never mind. There'll be a shortage of men after the war, and plenty of plain lassies will be glad of you, so you'll be all right. I think that's it takes up 2 minutes.
So it's definitely about his experiences of coming home, a changed person, both externally and internally. Yeah. Alice, that was some, like, 10 out of 10 reading happening there. And I'm not surprised, because you have a history as a musical theatre actress.
Yes.
As a radio presenter and producer for the BBC, as a teacher of English and drama, is there anything that you have not done?
Let me think. I've never jumped out of a plane. But I've done a lot to do with the arts, let's put it that way. But I've never done any sport, I'm sorry to say, apart from the occasional tennis.
That's, do you know what? That's okay. It's okay. I feel that your performance skills definitely make up for the lack of tennis skills.
Oh, thank you. I sometimes feel very out of it when people talk about sport. I'm quite lost.
If people want to hear more from Alice, she is doing a In Conversation with Verity James in Leaderville that is happening. You can go along to find out more about Alice and her work. Alice, when is that conversation happening?
That's happening on Thursday the 10th in the Royal Park Hall on Charles Street, 180 Charles Street, at 2:30. That is on Thursday the 10th.
So you can head along next Thursday to Royal Park Hall in Leaderville, or on Monday you can head up to Kalamunda and see Alice speaking with Sarah McNeil at the Zigzag Cultural Centre. You can pick up copies of Alice's books on those days as well. Where else can people find your book?
Well, on Monday and Thursday, of course, it will be at the book launches. But on my website, alicedale.com.au, you can order there to get the books.
Excellent.
I'd much rather they come along.
You'd much rather see people's faces as you hand the copies over.
Yes. Yes, we're almost filled out at Kalamunda, but there's still plenty of room at Leaderville. But if you're thinking of coming, I'd love it if you would book a ticket. There's no price. You don't have to pay anything. But it helps us to know the numbers if they could book a ticket to come to the Leaderville. There's still plenty of space there.
And you can do that online at Alice's website, alicedale.com.au. Alice, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Well, I've really enjoyed reading Upon Kiss. It is a very enjoyable read. Thank you again.
Lovely. You read the book. Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, I got a copy. It's in my hot little hand right now.
Oh, good. Well, that's the main reason I write, for other people to enjoy my books.
That's Alice Dale, author of A Fond Kiss. She is going to be speaking in Kalamunda and Leaderville next week. Make sure you check out her website for more information, alicedale.com.au.
The role of the arts is to question, interrogate, to listen, to respond. Those responses may be difficult, challenging, provocative, and that's the point.
Somewhere on the spectrum of amazed and terrified.
We
are here
on
to
artists.
Talk about arts and culture and all the things that are happening around Boorloo. One of those things is happening up at Allenbrook Arts Headquarters this November. Presented by Tura New Music, City of Swan and Allenbrook Arts, Tia Ross and Mark Solas and the Allenbrook community are coming together for the Milk Carton Confessions. Tia Ross has joined us now to talk about their practice in terms of performance music and how they are going to include the community in this free live performance. Tia, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So nice to have you here. We have just been kind of like sorting out which bits of the current Allenbrook Arts Headquarters program are your bits and which bits are other bits, because there is foraging in the waste stream happening as well.
Yes, absolutely.
This is a separate event from that.
Yeah, so foraging in the waste stream is, as far as I know, a whole lot of really interesting artists from lots of different mixed media are coming together and creating a really beautiful exhibition of works that respond to that, you know, the concept of foraging in the waste stream. And so there, the opening of that exhibition is at 6 o'clock on the 11th of November. And then our performance of the Milk Carton Confessions, which includes lots of community members, kids and teenagers, is going to be on the grass out the back of the Arts Centre at 7 o'clock. So if you want a night full of arts and exciting things, come to the opening at 6 and then stay for the show at 7.
Allenbrook's the place to be.
Absolutely.
So tell me about Milk Carton Confessions in particular. Do you kind of have an idea before you go into a community how you are going to, how the end product is going to sound, or are you kind of just rolling with what happens during the time you've got there?
Oh, well, this is quite a unique project because the piece, The Milk Carton Confessions, is a solo performance work that was written for me by Michael Solis. And so it premiered at the Extended Play Festival in Sydney just before the pandemic, 2019. we've played at a couple of festivals since then. So it's one person, me, sitting at a desk, doing a whole series of rituals and performative gestures around lots of different items, recycled and non-recycled objects. So I play on a garbage bin. I have a suit made out of newspaper that I tear off myself.
Yes.
So it's kind of, it's this crazy new music experimental show. There's lots of rhythm and groove, but it's kind of out there performance art stuff.
Amazing.
And then we had this brilliant idea. Why don't we, well, you know, it's kind of built into the show because Michael, he's also a bit of a filmmaker, and so he interviews community members wherever we're doing the performance, and gets their thoughts and feedback on recycling and kind of how it impacts them and what their feelings around the guilt of recycling and whether you do it and are you doing it right, and kind of that sort of world. He's really interested in exploring that, and he's done some really interesting interviews. We did the show in Bendigo and he got some amazing footage there. So there's always there's these series of little films that are played throughout the show. So there's some projections, some film, and me performing. And so it's always had a community element, but we thought, let's take this community element. So Michael's currently, actually, as we speak, filming people in Ellenbrook, asking them about recycling and engaging with families and staff members of the recycling centre. So he's making that film, and we thought, why don't we actually bring community members up on stage for this show? So it's a really unique version of it. We've been engaging with the homeschool community in Ellenbrook, which is really exciting. So we've got a bunch of, there's about 12 year five students, and they've been working with us to kind of come up with some instruments of their own and build some sets and some bits of props and rehearse. So they're going to be on stage with me. And then we also have a member of the Ellenbrook Secondary College who's come on board as well. He's an amazing drummer, so he's got a great sense of rhythm. So we've given him quite a complicated role in the piece. And I'm working with my collaborator, Jesse Vivante, who's been helping as well, is also a percussionist. So it's going to be a really fun time. We're kind of taking contemporary new art music, performance, practice, bringing the community on board, and then presenting this really fun outdoor concert. You can bring a picnic, sit back, relax, enjoy.
Do you think that this community element of your work will continue? Like, are you going to take that to your next residency or your next place of performance?
Yeah, absolutely. So community engagement is a really big part of my practice. I'm really passionate about making work that speaks in a clear and inclusive way to all sorts of communities. So if I'm programming a concert or staging an event, I always want to think about how do we make people feel involved and a part of it, whether they're creating sound themselves or just watching. I always want to sort of break down those barriers that sometimes arise between what might be thought of as art music and the audience. I think it's much more exciting if there's a little bit of blur between that experience. Mm. So, yeah, community work is a big part of what I do. And I've actually been working in Ellenbrook for quite a while this year. I had a residency at the Ellenbrook Secondary College working with the media department, making a little film clip using stop motion, which was really fun. The point of why we're getting involved with the community with this particular project is it's all about recycling and thinking about your footprint in the world. And does what you do matter? Is it worth investing and learning about how to do things properly? Hopefully this sparks some kind of an interest in people wanting to learn more, get more involved. It is actually Recycling Week at the moment as well. So,
amazing.
Part of this project really is kind of connecting people with something that might inspire them to want to get involved and make a bit of an impact as well.
We are talking to Thea Rossen from Milk Carton Confessions. It's happening up at Ellenbrook Arts headquarters as part of a Tour of New Music, City of Swan, Ellenbrook Arts kind of a collaboration. You're talking a little bit about the audience and that blurring of the lines between audience and performer. What role does the audience have when they are just sitting there receiving the work? Like, Do you think that there's still something that happens between audience and performer, even if they're not kind of playing an improvised instrument or joining you on stage?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think all musicians and performers learnt that the hard way in the lockdowns. You know, if it's no fun playing a gig if no one's watching, you know, it's that the experience of having a group of people in front of you gives you that extra kind of kick of adrenaline that really brings a sparkle to the performance that you can't get when you're just doing it by yourself. So, I mean, personally, I get a lot out of being in front of an audience. And from an audience perspective, I think it's really exciting to see live music because you don't know what's going to happen and no one else is ever going to see it the way you're seeing it right now. So there are some moments in the piece that are quite confronting. At one point, I blow up a balloon and no one knows if I'm going to stop blowing it before it explodes in my face. And I'm not going to tell you if I do it either way. But, you know, at another point, there's all these things balanced on the table and I'm moving really fast, lots of milk cartons. Is one of them going to fall off? What's going to happen? So it's kind of that excitement of, you know, what's going to happen and how's it going to impact me in the moment. Yeah.
There's a tension.
There's a tension, absolutely. But a good tension.
If you want to be part of that tension, if you want to be part of what Thea is doing up at Ellenbrook Arts headquarters, then you can head up to the opening night, to the performance night. It is happening.
It is happening on the 11th of November. And our performance starts at 7 p.m, but come early for 6 p.m. to see the opening of the gallery, if you would like, of the exhibition. And we're really excited because we've got there's a little connection there between the artists of Foraging the Waste Stream. One of the textile artists, Sophie Nixon, is making me the newspaper suit. So that's going to be super cool. Tickets are free, but you just need to register at tura.com.
So get on it. You can find out more about it at Ellenbrook Arts headquarters socials, and I'm sure Thea's as well. Milk Carton Confessions happening next Friday up in Ellenbrook. Thanks, Thea.
Thanks a lot.